Nice to see you all tonight. To see some of my friends who very charitably turned up. I'll be reading something really silly, and something really fictional. Like I have to stress, it's fiction. None of this happened, and the narrator is extremely unlikable. It's the start of a pretty long short story called "Cut It Out." So straight in. My new orifice offered little respite. I'd found a hole in my left shoulder, medium size, 1 inch deep. In the shower, I was feeling around and cupping myself. The routine breast exam, as we're taught it, is 11 stages long. I remember stopping at 4. I don't remember what 4 is. Possibly I was palpating the left axilla, sending feelers up to the sentinel nodes there, or I was massaging the deltoid on the way down to the nipple. I didn't have breasts. But what I did have was nipples, my nipples. I was definitely at stage 4, having pricked the flesh of my nipples' gibbous tips and having tried for a little filth or a little discharge or a little inversion. It didn't matter, being a man, being in the shower pretending to be a woman, a sick woman. Yes, because in the shower I was, 8 in the morning, yes, revising the breast procedure when I happened to professionally, calculatedly brush my soaked hands over my left shoulder, and in doing so, found my new hole in my shoulder. A new and unprecedented orifice, medium size, 1 inch deep, a hole in a spot the study of anatomy usually denies them, 2 inches wide and bloodless, tissueless, a hole with no in and no out, not a flap-sided hole or a hole bordered by gristle, but an empty, evacuated, and obviously unfilled space beneath the skin, fingerless, lurid, and top to bottom wrong. I pressed into it, left the shower, and decided to go to admin. Some backup. I was in my third year of medical school, an inveterate and icy period, for some a time of borderline reprieve, happiness even. 4 out of 5 medical students were very happy, one popular survey said, with the remainder being joyous, manic, or in just good spirits. We walked around with our toy stethoscopes, twiddled our extra rubber cuffs. I still do not know what I was doing in that place. The hole was 2 inches wide, and admin was trying to fuck with me. Cut it out, they said. We know exactly what you're doing. My left arm, I said, pointed at it with my right, grimaced. You're disturbing the patients, they glowered and spat. What about me? I glowered back, thought of spitting, grimaced. The lady spat once more in her tobacco can. Yan, she said. A hole in my shoulder, I said. I can't move my frickin' arm. There is no hole, the lady chewed, turned to her neighbor. Do you see a hole, Shiloh? There is no hole, her neighbor chewed, turned to the tobacco can, spat, swiveled back to me. Agnes won't say it, he said, because she's kind, bless her. But here's the deal, kid. We both think you're a moron, he spat. You also have Cotard syndrome. Relish on their chins. I went home and reconsidered my life ambitions. I wasn't even a remotely ambitious person. I pulled the fridge open, let a beer fizz as I supped in my easy chair, new gamey arm by my side. I did not have Cotard syndrome. I did not have nihilistic delusions. My insides weren't rotting, and I did not read Albert Camus. I was not an evil person, and I did not long to resemble nothing, did not want to be at one with my own personal zero, whatever that means. I longed to resemble many things at once, a man of fractions, a compound man, and a lightly groomed vessel of fine banter. Well-spun bullshit. I'm still the same person now, but simpler, pared down, arguably less bullshit. Less of me exists, in a way. I did not have Cotard syndrome, but I considered playing along. Figured, big exams coming up. Figured, extenuating circumstances, why not? Camus isn't so bad anyway. It was the beer, I think. My limbs weren't seeing eye to eye. I drank a bit, heard my new orifice hiccup and burp. But Camus' dead, I thought. He's fucking dead. Email, I corrected myself. I typed it out one-handed, bureaucratic, sent it off to admin and hoped for the best. Shiloh and Agnes were quick on the draw. Stop pretending to stroke, they'd sent back almost instantly. Relish more than probable. Alcohol, I concluded, and cracked open another beer. Decided to have some fun. Sometimes I like to have fun. I showed them just how much, but no more than how much. Our email exchanges read like the transliteration of a dead language. The exchanges were short and sweet, heavy on keen and exacting sweetness. I fixed my glasses and read. "You have Codod syndrome," they typed. "You really do have Codod syndrome," they added. I told them to stuff it. I told them to stuff their stuffing. I think I used the phrase psychosomatic cloud poop, or an inspired Barry alternative meringue anim. You should know straight up that abuse is not my calling card, though I take it well. I fixed my glasses again and read on. "Don't think we're not onto you," they'd written. "Don't be stupid, stupid," they signed off, for good measure. Fucking admin. I wanted to shake my fist or send it through the screen so it would hit them hard, make them see their newsfeed in bits. I was angry, more than angry. I was livid and drunk. Livacious is the neologism I decided to coin. Livacious. I went to the corner shop and bought some cigarettes, started smoking indoors. "I don't think you have a choice," Andy told me when I got back. I lived with Andy. We were friends. Had arguments over who ate the most peanut crunch. "What about Irene?" I puffed. "If this gets around to her, do you want it to?" Andy started tapping in a number on his phone. I lunged at him with my good arm and spilled ash on the dead limb. There was a hole in my left shoulder. It did not hurt. "This is what Andy said I should do." Andy said, "Take your clothes off to prove it." So I went up to admin and did just that. Proving it in my business casual was proving quite difficult. Too many buttons, even for my right hand, which knows not too many. I thought, fuck it. Decided to give them the kamikaze opening, really pulled at my shirt, let rip. Shiloh spat at his screen and shut up. "What the hell?" he motioned to Agnes, who was zipping up her blouse. They were still spitting and chewing, spitting and chewing. I considered roaring, decided against it, pointed at my new hole. Agnes and Shiloh were aghast. They were old, so it was an easy look. I saw Shiloh reach for the panic button, chew. I saw Agnes spit omnilaterally. My hairy chest, my dilated stomach, the Iraqi boy's natural kebab bulge, my everywhere and everything paleness. I started flexing my pecs, which brought out the hole, made the hole red-rimmed like a bloodshot eye, all monster-like. I thought fuck it and started to roar. Then my throat burned, so I thought fuck it, segged into human-style abuse. I'm not good at abuse, though I take it well. "Shiloh, you pestilential dog, I here invoke hospital to bring a rain of slivers down on your head, followed by grenades, wet wipes. Agnes, you dolt, may the good Lord drop worms in your milk, wreak havoc on your TV book club. For one true word," I said, "there is but one true word, kid," they said. "You've gone batshit." It was probably true, a probable improvement. Batshit is not Cotard syndrome. I found a hole in my left shoulder, had a new dead arm. A doctor came in, put a needle in, and knocked me out. Then I started hallucinating. Once my hair was long and thick, once I was a long-haired kid. Wizard white beard after a house fire, punk. My father, the psychiatrist, refused to sit our family for a photographer until I cut it. He gave me the scissors with the familial crest, the same scissors his father, the psychiatrist, gave him, and which he, post-gift, shotballed into the Tuareg River, then proceeded to run along the bank, started screaming for a cab, a regular mental Iraqi family. Dad was a 1960s hooker nerd, one of the curtain fringe vanguard. My father's father, the psychiatrist, tied him to a chair and had, at his latent hippiness, it said, with some textbook glee. The scissors, by then fished out, had grown quite rusty. It was an apocryphal story. I was being asked to enter the tradition of short-haired psychiatrists. When I sheared off the final fistful, I turned to the mirror instead. Saw Dad smiling behind me. "That's my beautiful son," he said. "Neat, prim." I thought, what a disaster. And then my father's weeping when I went bald. Although I wasn't really bald, I'd shaved my head. The hallucination ended and I woke up. When I came to, out of the hallucination, my medical firm surrounded the hospital bed. They were excited. I felt their excitement. I was the excitement dispenser. Irene, my one true love, was holding my hand. I decided to pretend like I hadn't noticed, spent some time looking around. The crowd was 60% male and 100% hairy, and I used that word in the pejorative sense. Even Rob, who never smiled, whose cunty smile could only mean something bad, a tsunami alert, a death in the family, was smiling. Something was bad. The firm had brought me a chocolate cake. It sat on a metal tray, moist. Irene squeezed my hand, sliced through me. I smiled at her hot Russian blue eyes and squeezed back, a little squeeze, a no more than gentle squeeze. It was nothing really. I pressed down hard, felt her latex. Hey, I said. Hey, Irene. He's talking, she let go, peeled her gloves. Pulse is 88. I heard the room titter. A doctor bent over me and started to empathize. Lorazepam and haloperidol, he said. We needed to knock you out, rapid tranquilization. How does it feel, buddy? Dan Bendel was at my side, letting me know. I thought it didn't feel good. Good, I lied to them all. It feels really good. The broad thumping consensus was that the preclinical lectures weren't okay, they weren't boring. Fingers, they weren't that interesting either. Especially if you'd spent the other parts of the day watching online procedures or scrolling encrypted internet pages for high-resolution images of medical miracles. Stuff like the guy born with 8 separate hearts and 1 udder, which may or may not have been true, but was at least gruesomely detailed and visceral. The firm had just spent the last 2 years going to lectures. Now they wanted to see stuff, do stuff, play at doing the stuff they wanted to see. Fuck, Andy offered. You have Cotard syndrome. What? Shh, Irene said. Maybe he doesn't want to hear. I want to hear. I looked at Irene, tried to telegraph my insane attraction. I'm unashamed to say that I wanted my name embroidered on her jeans. Tell me everything, I said. You're crazy, she said. Mental, Andy confirmed. M-E-N-T-A-L. But it's okay, buddy. Dan Bendel was at my side letting me know. It's perfectly okay, they're letting you back. Back in a spiff, the doctor confirmed. Put 2 tablets in my mouth, told me to swallow. I swallowed. I like that word, spiff. You have Cotard's, the doctor said, looking at my file. Cotard's. He sat on my bed, offered me a piece of moist chocolate. I did not have Cotard's, but I take it well, I thought. Isn't that interesting, buddy? Dan was chewing gum, letting me know. What about my arm, I gulped. I can't move my right arm. There's nothing wrong with your arms, buddy. It's for Cotard's. Walking corpse syndrome, Rob smiled. A rare neuropsychiatric disorder in which a person holds a delusional belief that they are dead, do not exist, are putrefying, or have lost their blood or internal organs. A mental thing, the doctor looked at me, started to empathize again. A mind thing, he corrected himself. The tablets are for your Cotard's. Kill the Cotard's and you'll be doing with your right hand what you do with it, as in what you did with it before, which is of course your business, but new and healthy business. He winked. Even malingerers get tired of using their left hand. Yeah, Andy said, don't be too hard on yourself. Irene laughed. I made a personal note to crush laxatives into Andy's peanut crunch.